Good morning, everybody. Welcome to our Palm Sunday service, which is led by the locally resourced worship team. Our order of service this morning is a little different. It begins with Jesus' triumphant entrance into Jerusalem and then moves on through the events of Holy Week, reflecting on the current pandemic in the context of Jesus' journey to the cross. Our call to worship. Lord of all, when Jesus entered Jerusalem, the people welcomed him with praise and gave him the best they could offer. As we gather here, we ask you to fill our hearts with joy and love. Help us to understand what it means to give freely and extravagantly of our time, our treasures, and our talents. Most of all, inspire us to give you our praise. Our readings this morning are all dramatized, and we begin with Mark chapter 11, verses 1 to 11, Jesus' entry into Jerusalem.
The disciples arrived at the towns of Bethpage and Bethany on their journey towards Jerusalem, and they came to the Mount of Olives. Jesus sent two of his disciples on ahead and told them,
"Go to the next village, and just as you get there, you will find a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you what you're doing, just tell them that the Lord needs it and will send it back at once."
The disciples did what Jesus asked of them. They went and found the colt tied to the door of a house. As they untied it, some people asked them what they were doing, and they replied just as Jesus had told them. They brought the colt to Jesus, threw their cloaks over it, and helped Jesus get on. The crowd gathered by the roadside, spreading their cloaks and branches they had cut in the fields on the ground, and they began to shout out,
"Hosanna!
Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.
Hosanna in the highest heaven."
The cries of the people continued as Jesus entered Jerusalem.
We come to our first hymn, which is "Ride On, Ride On in Majesty."
Well done.
You're on mute, Mary.
Right. Okay, I'll say that again. There is a response to these prayers, but if you, everybody else could remain muted. Yeah, if you could remain muted and just say them in your own privacy. Let's pray. On this day, so many years ago, the people welcomed Jesus into Jerusalem as if he were a triumphant king. Forgive us for the times when we forget how important you are in our lives. On that day, the people paved his road with palm branches and coats and cheered him through the city. Forgive us for the times when we lack enthusiasm in our worship and our witness. On that day, the people stirred up the whole city so that everybody asked who this man was. Forgive us for the times when we make our faith seem so dull that our indifference is unlikely to stir anyone's interest. On that day, the people that believed that Jesus would change everything because he would be the saviour of the world. Forgive us the times when we doubt whether anything in our world can ever be changed. On that day, Jesus rode on a donkey to show that his kingdom was not built on pride and power. Forgive us for the times when we are more interested in power and prestige than in humility and service. On that day, the crowds did not know how the story would end or how they would soon shout out for his death. Forgive us for the times when we go along the road, go along with the crowd, rather than stand up for our beliefs. On that day, Jesus knew what would happen, but still pushed on into Jerusalem to face opposition and death. Forgive us for the times when we back down from conflict and cannot find the courage to face opposition and trouble. Understanding God, as we celebrate Palm Sunday, help us to reflect upon its joys and the coming sorrow and learn something more about ourselves, our weaknesses and our strengths. Amen. Today we're exploring in a biblical context the challenges and changes to everyday life we have experienced during the pandemic. Six scenes take us through Mark's account of Holy Week. Each scene makes a connection between here, our world today, and there, the world of the Passion narrative. And we start with the healing presence which takes place in Simon's house.
It was now 2 days before the Feast of Passover. In a noisy room where friends were chatting, Jesus was eating at the house of a man called Simon, when a woman came in with a precious jar filled with expensive perfume. In the silence of shocked witnesses, she broke open the jar and poured the ointment over Jesus's head. In a murmur of unrest, angry voices were raised, asking,
"Why waste such perfume? It could have been sold for 300 denarii or more, and the money given to the poor."
But one voice was raised above the others.
"Why are you scolding her? She has done a good thing for me. You will always have the poor with you, and you can be kind to them whenever you wish, but you won't always have me. She has done what she could and anointed my body for the grave. Truly, I tell you, what she has done today will often be told and remembered."
You're on mute, Mary.
Be somebody else's. My screen is telling me that I'm mute. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes. We are guilty sometimes of focusing so much on the immediate needs around us that we forget to be still in Jesus' presence. There's a healthy balance between being and doing.
So we look at here and now, and you have to imagine that I'm a minister experiencing burnout. It's been a long year. I never imagined when all of this started last March that I'd still be organising distanced worship and Zoom meetings. It's incredible how far we've come too, but Lord, I am so tired. My working week is now all about admin, finding worship songs without copyright restrictions, recording video messages, sending out Zoom links right, left and centre for meetings I can normally just rock up to and see other human beings face to face. The spirituality has gone out of the window, though. I'm drained. I thrive on company, on contact. My sermons build in enthusiasm when I feel the body language lift in the people around me. The Holy Spirit makes me buoyant as the words trip out. That doesn't happen so much on a screen. I'm proud of the congregation for rolling with the changes, mostly, for turning up online when they'd rather be in church, for phoning one another and showing love, despite the circumstances. But Lord, I'm tired. I miss having the energy to pray, to read, and to study for my own fulfillment. I miss spending time with Jesus. There's nothing else like it. Can't hear you, Mary. Still can't hear you.
My screen seems to be doing it back to front.
You're okay now.
Thank you. For there is the woman who anointed Jesus. I've never experienced anything like it. A rowdy room full of chatter and activity that went quiet when I came in and moved towards Jesus. I was holding the jar close to my chest. I was afraid of dropping it or that someone might grab it. It was so quiet when I knelt at his feet. He looked at me. I felt he knew everything about me, could see right inside me. I broke the jar and bathed his forehead with the ointment. The sweet smell filled the room. I felt I was touching the face of God. He closed his eyes, but it still felt as if he was looking at me. I forgot there was anyone else there. Everything I'd thought of or worried about vanished. There was just me and him. I felt so good, so whole, connected, loved. It was like nothing else. Before we pray, rub your hand cream into your hands and breathe in the lovely smell. Loving God, this is a time of struggle in so many ways, but let us look beyond ourselves and think about those who live with danger and desperation, those who have to flee for their lives. May they find a welcome and security. Help us to be open-hearted to the needs of those on our doorstep and beyond. Amen. We're going to sing one verse of a song called Lord, You Are More Precious Than Silver.
We move now to scene two, provision. This is set in the upper room. Do you remember how some people responded to the pandemic by panic buying? By contrast, there are many people facing financial difficulty, needing to rely on the giving of others. In this passage, set in the upper room, Jesus offers exactly what the disciples need, an opportunity to commune and to remember.
They had all gathered in the evening to eat together, but they weren't prepared for this.
Truly, I tell you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me now.
All the disciples were upset, asking one after another,
"Not me, surely."
But Jesus kept saying,
"One of you will betray me, one who is eating with me now, and it would be better for him if he'd never been born."
And then, as they continued to eat, Jesus took some bread and blessed it. He broke it and he gave some of it to each of them, saying,
"Take, eat, this is my body."
Then he did the same with a cup of wine.
"This is my blood, as promised, shed for many. I won't drink wine again until I drink it in God's kingdom."
The disciples looked at each other, confused and saddened. What did he mean?
In the here and now, we hear from a supermarket checkout worker.
"An hour into my shift and I've had enough already. Piles of groceries, tins, booze, not to mention the blessed toilet rolls. There's been a real change around the checkout since the pandemic started. Suspicion, anxiety, whatever happened to be kind? Some customers treat me as an inconvenience, a hurdle between them and the safety of their car. Others do make an effort. They ask how I am, for which I am grateful. A customer said to me yesterday, 'Well, we're all in this together, aren't we?' She smiled behind her mask and I thought, 'What a lovely lady. I won't forget you.'"
We consider what it may have been like to have been there at the Last Supper. "An hour into the Passover meal and I was run off my feet serving everyone. Suddenly the atmosphere seemed to change. One of the men was speaking, holding up the bread, tearing it up and sharing it around. Then he called me forward with a smile, took the wine jug from me and poured a little into their cups, telling them to drink and remember him. The men stared at him in silence. They seemed amazed or confused, but they did as he asked. It was like he was preparing them for something, giving them really important instructions, like his life depended on it. And when his eyes filled with tears, mine did too. I hung on his every word. He was mesmerizing. The men ate the bread like it was all they'd ever need. This was different from any other meal I've served at, but it made me feel hopeful and I wanted to join in. When they were preparing to leave and I began to clear the table, the man held out a piece of bread to me, smiled again, then left. That bread was like something else, like something of him had spilled over into it. I've never forgotten that meal or that man. And we're going to listen to or sing one verse from My Shepherd Will Supply My Needs.
Good provisions of my God attend me all my days. Oh, may your house be my abode and all my work be praise. There would I find a settled rest while others go and come. No more a stranger or a guest, but like a child at home. No more a stranger or a guest, but like a child at home.
As we travel through Holy Week, can we remember occasions when we have been in need of some kind? Can we reflect on who helped us? Can we think about ways we can do likewise and become a provider for someone in need?
So in scene three, we explore isolation. So in the last 12 months, I'm sure most of us have had extended times of being physically away from those that we love. So this section concentrates on the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus felt isolated and alone, despite asking his disciples to be with him whilst he prayed.
They went together to Gethsemane. Jesus asked some to sit and others, Peter, James, and John, to stay awake and watch while he prayed. Jesus was full of sorrow as he cried out to God in the garden.
Abba, Father, take this cup from me, because you can do anything. But your will be done, not mine.
He came back and found the disciples asleep.
Couldn't you keep awake for even 1 hour?
Twice more Jesus went away and prayed the same words to God. Twice more, he found the disciples asleep.
Enough. The hour has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up and see. My betrayer is here.
So the here for this theme is my personal story of visiting a loved one in a care home during this pandemic. So as many of you know, my elderly mum had lived in a local care home for some years before COVID-19 struck. An early indication showed that the elderly especially were at great risk of not only catching, but dying from this disease. We were all encouraged to keep our distance, to not hug, kiss, or shake hands, to greet people. And as Mum's home went into complete lockdown from the 12th of March last year to the middle of June, Mum and I found it extremely hard to only communicate on the phone and not be able to meet in person. As the guidelines changed, I could visit Mum face to face outside under a gazebo, but there were two tables separating us. And months later, when I was tottering at the top of my stepladder at Mum's window, talking on the phone, the windows were locked shut. We were together, but we were apart. And when Mum tested positive, or if she was unwell and had to spend time in hospital, she had to isolate in her room for 14 days at a time, with just carers going in and out. Not the care home's fault, these were the government guidelines to keep our loved ones safe. I became quite frustrated, though, with these guidelines and badgered my MP several times with very little support, specifics for support. I had to hide that frustration when speaking to Mum. It wasn't her fault, but it felt like she was bearing the brunt of an impossible situation. I would have done anything to be there for her, I really would, but this pandemic divided us physically, but not in spirit. No. Never in spirit. And then the there is reflecting on what being a disciple in the Garden of Gethsemane may have been like. Lord, I want to be there for you just as you asked, but it's so hard. We're exhausted. It's been so long since we started out on this journey with you. We don't know when the next rest is coming. It's draining. And when we do lie down, we're asleep as soon as our heads hit the ground. It broke my heart when you got angry with us, pleaded with us to stay with you. If willpower alone was enough, I'd always be there, by your side, day and night, be whatever you need me to be. I know you're struggling. I hear the distress in your voice, see the look of doubt and fear in your eyes. This is tough on all of us. But I know you are more cut off in a way, isolated, taking the brunt of all of this. But you're doing great. Did you hear those crowds the other day? We just have to keep each other going. Don't worry, Lord. Please, we're almost there. I'd do anything to be there for you in this moment. I really would. But my body won't let me. So perhaps this reflection has made you remember someone who may be isolated due to the pandemic. And perhaps now is the time to contact them, to send a card or a gift, or just to simply phone them. Let us pray. Lord, bless those in care homes, the residents and the staff. They may have all lost someone dear to them through death or because they've not been allowed to have that physical contact. May all those in isolation feel your presence. Amen. And now we have the last part of a lovely Stuart Townend song to listen to. I am here for you.
That is closer than a brother, power to break the chains that bind, and to comfort like no other. He has walked this desperate road before, and he's walking here beside you. For through every drought and here for you.
scene four, the theme is living with tension. And we begin with the indecision of Pilate in the courtyard.
As soon as it was morning, the whole council met and delivered Jesus to Pilate. Pilate questioned Jesus.
Are you the king of the Jews?
You have said so.
But Jesus would not answer any of the other accusations made against him. And Pilate was amazed. Pilate gave the crowd a choice. He asked them if they would like to save Jesus or Barabbas, who was a murderer. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd against Jesus, and they chose Barabbas. Pilate asked again,
"Then what shall I do with the man you call King of the Jews?"
"Crucify him."
"Why? What evil has he done?"
"Crucify him."
So Pilate, to satisfy the crowd, released Barabbas. And after flogging Jesus, he handed him over to be crucified.
In this scene, Pilate washes his hands of the responsibility for Jesus and his fate. And he leaves the decision up to the crowd. In this pandemic, we have experienced being under government regulations and guidelines. And at times we've also been trusted to use our own judgments. And so we hear firstly from a family member of someone who is shielding.
I can't understand what goes on in people's minds. When all of this started, we were all in this together, clapping for key workers, wearing our masks, staying home to protect one another. How quickly things can change. It's all very well to say, forget the rules, that officials don't know what they're talking about. What about those of us who have someone vulnerable to protect? This virus can be deadly. So many people have to be so careful. This is the most crucial time. Relaxing the rules, breathing a sigh of relief because the worst is over. But it's not over for those with chronic illnesses. For all of us, it's been difficult having to abide by rules set by other people, whether or not you agree with them. But for some, it's a matter of life or death. A mask isn't just to protect you, it protects others from you. It is so galling when that one's ignored. Dealing with other people's decisions and the consequences of them, that's really difficult to live with.
Now we hear from the widow of Barabbas's victim.
I can't understand what goes on in people's minds. When all of this started, we were all in this together, all waving palm branches, shouting to welcome the newcomer into town just a few days ago. Oh, how quickly things can change. Now the crowd is baying for that man's blood. And what's he done? Upset the Pharisees? Said a few things they don't like? What's that compared with murder? Barabbas killed my husband, Saul. He was put away for it, and I could finally sleep at night. Then they chose to release him, a murderer, over Jesus, a religious teacher. Now no one's safe because of someone else's poor judgment. What were they thinking? What could possibly justify setting a known killer loose? It's hard enough to be grieving for my husband, but dealing with the consequences of other people's decisions, That's more difficult to live with.
How do we respond when we may not agree with decisions made by others on our behalf? When others seem to flout or bend the rules, have we found ways to live with this tension? It's not always easy to know what the right thing to do is, to know what God wants us to do. And so we ask him for help. Wise and all-knowing God, we cannot fathom how others think, and we cannot see the full picture that you can see. Please guide us. Give us discernment and courage as we learn when to stand up and contest something and when to try and live together with the tension. Amen. So we sing the third verse and chorus of One More Step.
Bad and good, keep me traveling the way I should. Where I see no way to go, you'll be telling me the way I know. And it's from the old I travel to the new. Keep me traveling along with you.
And so we move to scene five, Anguish on the Cross.
After 3 hours of darkness, Jesus cried out to God in despair.
My God, why have you forsaken me?
He's calling for Elijah.
Someone lifted up to Jesus a sponge filled with sour wine.
Let's see if Elijah will save him.
Jesus cried out again with his last breath and died. At that moment, the curtain in the temple was torn in two, and a centurion saw it all and declared,
"Truly, this man was the Son of God."
So the here for this scene is my personal story of being very recently bereaved. If you had told me a year ago that things wouldn't get back to normal, especially in care homes, I would have thought you were mad. I had hoped and prayed that my mum would make it through this pandemic, that we would be able to get back to some kind of normal, that I would be able to visit her again as I always used to. But instead, in January, as you all know, I lost someone who meant the world to me. And in preparing for this service, I reflected on whether God felt the same anguish when Jesus breathed his last breath as I did when my dear mum passed so peacefully. Did God feel the same pain, the same suffering as I did? But I also felt that God was holding me. So who uplifted God? Perhaps it was a reunion for them rather than a loss. I truly believe that my mum is in heaven and that does help. But of course, I wish she was still with me on earth. I wonder if Jesus's friends had a sense of hope or if, like I feel now, that everything would feel lost and out of kilter. Does God really understand what I'm going through because of the events that happened that Easter time? Am I closer to the heart of God because of the pain that I have felt? I wonder. And for the there, the thoughts of the thief on the cross beside Jesus. If you'd have told me a year ago that this is where I'd be, I'd probably be surprised I wasn't caught sooner. I'd live my life stealing to eat, stealing to live, struggling to keep my family together. I'd never really given much thought to the big questions, spirituality, God, and all that. Until my final hours, beside this man, Jesus, who has done no wrong, yet ended up between two thieves. They say your life flashes before your eyes when you're dying. Mine wasn't much to speak of. I've always been the taker, not the giver. I felt entitled to what I took, but I didn't deserve it. Not really. As crazy as this sounds, I felt that Jesus was there for me. Those final words, today you will be with me in paradise. They gave me something I'd never felt before. Purpose, meaning. I saw in his eyes the determination, belief, as he showed me there is more to life than food, shelter, and things. I truly believe this man was the Messiah, the Son of God, and yet he chose to step down from his glory and die on a cross next to a thief like me. Somehow he found forgiveness and generosity in his heart to offer me a place in his paradise. I knew he was there for me, to suffer and to bleed and die with me so he would know how it felt, so he could release me from all the trouble I'd made for myself all of my life. With my final breath, I gave thanks to God for sending his son to die beside me, to understand, to truly relate to me. Am I closer to the heart of God because of the pain I feel? I wonder. And as we process those reflections, let us pray. Loving God, we hold our friends and family before you. Words are not enough, but you hear the silent prayers in our hearts. Bring comfort and peace. Enable us to support those left behind. And we think in particular of those who mourn our dear friend Norma, who was an active member of the LRW group. Lord, continue to give us hope of life everlasting in your kingdom. In your name, Jesus, we ask. Amen. And now we have the last part of the hymn, And Can It Be?
Our sixth and final scene is one of hope, as we gather with the disciples outside Jesus' tomb.
When evening came, Pilate let Joseph of Arimathea have Jesus' body. Pilate checked with the centurion that Jesus was dead, and then gave the body to Joseph. Joseph wrapped Jesus in a linen cloth and laid him in a tomb cut from the rock. A stone was rolled against the entrance to the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Jesus, saw where the body was laid.
I wonder where each of us sees ourselves spiritually at this point in the pandemic in relation to the Easter story. Are we like Joseph, mourning Jesus' death and ensuring that he's buried appropriately? Are we like the women, possibly in denial about what's happening, coming with trepidation, perhaps daring to hope that something good is imminent. Or are we like the angel, watching and waiting, ready to reveal the truth and joy? Are we in mourning, denial, or anticipation? Is there a place for all three? Can we see hope on the horizon in this Bible story and in our own lives? We're going to hear now from an NHS vaccine giver.
It's begun, what we've waited and hoped for ever since this catastrophe started over a year ago, the protection from this awful virus. There's scepticism, naturally. All of this has happened so fast, and it's new science and totally unprecedented, but there's still cause for hope. The possibility that soon we'll be able to meet, to hug, to find a semblance of normal. Can we put this strange time behind us? For so many families and friends who've lost loved ones, that isn't an option. We are still in the midst of suffering and loss. It seems never ending, especially for those in the thick of it. Dare I trust that we can rebuild our lives again? Hope is there, tantalizingly close, just out of sight over the horizon.
We are there with Mary at the tomb of Jesus. The worst has happened. We've lost our Jesus. He did warn us, but when he was here with us, we couldn't believe what he was saying. Yet here we are, by his tomb, waiting to anoint his body and say goodbye. And yet, is this really the end? When he told us he'd die, he also said he would rise again. That seemed as far-fetched as the idea of him leaving us, but I've seen him do so many impossible things. He's changed my life in so many inconceivable ways. Might he really come and put things right? Is it possible to leave this sadness and bitterness behind and rebuild a new life with Jesus at the centre? I feel like hope is there, just over the horizon, silent and still. The following prayer aims to speak into where your emotions are at this moment. If you're mournful and struggling, I invite you to lay the palms of your hands gently on your knees. If you feel some denial and want to bury away the pandemic situation, ball your hands into fists. If you're feeling hopeful towards the future, open your palms face up and lay them on your knees. As we pray. Loving God, we come to you just as we are, broken, weary, afraid, sad, hopeful, optimistic. Please meet with each of us at this moment. Minister to us and to those we love. Assure us that you are with us and will never leave us. Show us how to heal, how to come to terms with loss, how to assist others, how to rest, how to slow down, how to look ahead with confidence in your goodness. Thank you, God. Amen. Now we're going to listen to one verse from another Stuart Townend song, There Is a Hope That Burns Within My Heart.
Let's sing this together.
There is a hope that burns within my heart, that gives me strength for every passing day. A glimpse of glory now revealed in meager part, yet drives all doubt away. I stand in Christ with sins forgiven, and Christ in me, the hope of them. My highest calling and my deepest joy, to make His will my home.
So in this service, we've moved from Palm Sunday to Good Friday, from Hosanna to Crucify, and both here and there we've shared experiences of a healing presence, provision, isolation, living with tension, anguish and hope. And so we go forward into Holy Week strengthened by that resurrection hope, which will wipe away all tears, but also challenged to consider how we can continue to be a beacon of hope for our community as the pandemic situation continues. And so we sing the whole of our final song, which is Meekness and Majesty. May the blessing of God, who resides in our hopes and dreams, be with us. May the blessing of Jesus, who rides to wild acclaim and waving palm branches, go with us. May the blessing of the Spirit, who holds us through fears and nightmares, fill us with the hopes and dreams of the dawning of an Easter morning. Amen.
Thank you very much, Pam and the LRW group. That's given us an awful lot to think about, particularly over the coming days. Next Sunday, we are going to have our Easter Day celebration as a Zoom service. It will be led by myself. But before that, on Monday and Wednesday, we have our usual morning prayers at 11. And then on Friday morning at 11, we're going to have a Good Friday reflection. And everybody is welcome to join us. We use the same Zoom connection details as we have used this morning for the prayers and for that Good Friday reflection. And then so this week, the Saturday between 10 a.m. and noon, the church will be open for private prayer. So we've got prayers Monday and Wednesday, Good Friday reflection on Friday, church open for people to come into the physical church building for private prayer on Saturday between 10 and noon, and then again our Easter Day celebration Zoom service next Sunday morning. So a lot to remember, but I hope we will see many of you at those various meetings if you are able to join us. And before we say our farewells and greetings to each other, are there any other notices anybody wants to mention to us? If you wave your hand at me, I will try and spot you if you are. I can't see anybody.
What? Come on,
Lois.
Yeah. I really should have done this last Sunday. The Mother's Day quiz. We came up with a winner for that, and it was Barbara Phillips. So she has received her prize.
Oh, that's lovely.
Yeah. And was very pleased with it. So. Oh, and £70 was raised as a result. So that was very good. So thank you all.
Well done, Lois.
Thank you, everybody. And just one thing to mention, as those who joined us at the start of the service, Steve Robbins' mother is terminally ill in Exeter, and our wishes and prayers go with him. I know he's intending to go down and visit her at Easter weekend. So prayers will be with you then, Steve.
No, I shan't be able to go down until the lockdown sort of continues until April the 12th.
Right.
In terms of travel. So that was my enthusiasm, hoping that I could go down.
I thought you might have been going down under the provisions of visiting somebody who was terminally ill, which you can do.
Yes, I'll look them up.
Yeah, because somebody's gone into terminal care. There is a provision that you close family can go down and visit them in those circumstances.
Oh, okay. Thank you. I'll look into that. And
yeah.
And thank you, everybody, for your prayers for her.
Thank you.
And us.
Thank you.
Well, then. Steve, can I just ask you, would you like us to place you and your family, and your mum in particular, on the prayer chain?
Yes. Sorry,
go on.
For that. Yeah, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Then let us greet everybody, say our Palm Sunday greetings and say farewell. Bye. I hope to see you again very soon.
Bye.
All right.
Bye.
Bye,
everyone.
Bye.
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 Bye.